So welcome to another edition of Bathrobes, Fears, Broadsides, the February 5th, 2026 edition. At least that's the date of today. This evening show is going to go all the way back, 25 years, to August 30th, 2001. You're going to be hearing, a number of voices, lots of sometimes embarrassing, sometimes irrelevant, sometimes interesting questions from Earth Mommer, who is a broadcaster in those days in her own right. Damned if I remember her actual off-air name. It would have been considered a violation of free radio policy to mention it, and probably isn't anymore because free radio has taken a decidedly off-air kind of turn. We go out on the net and we archive, at least I archive my shows, but you don't get free radio is not a subject of interest for the Federal Communications Commission, as far as I know. Hoping one of these days to do a show on the update of, or the down date of free radio shows throughout the country, if there are any that still survive, and I think there probably are. Anyway, on this show, you're going to hear a number of people, Bill Vaughn, talking as a sort of an anti-war activist, briefly. And then it's lots of queries from, as I mentioned before, Earth Mommer. And finally, a long, sometimes broken-up segment from Arthur Rosenberg, who's an attorney in Miami, I believe, in Florida, who has joined on the ACLU lawsuit or was involved with it peripherally to restore rights to homeless folks in one of the earliest mass restoration of rights to homeless people in an urban jurisdiction that I know of. He created a thing called, it was an update of the Pottinger decision, which was initially came down in 1992. And I believe that's going to be talked about at some length on the show, so I'm not going to go into it. The basic reality of it was sort of like the Martin versus Boise decision, which said don't ticket unless you can offer someone a bed before you do. This was actually a broader decision which stated you cannot criminalize people for life-sustaining activity outside. And that's a broader category, not just sleeping, not just camping, but making a fire, taking a shit, that sort of thing. And that became a settlement in 1992. I think they established zones in 1999. I'm not entirely clear on that. In fact, here's the University of Miami Law Review article, which talks about the criminalization of homelessness in a post-Pottinger world. And it reads like this. In February of this year, Judge Moreno of the Federal District Court for the Southern District of Florida dissolved the Pottinger Agreement, a landmark consent decree that led the nation in establishing protection for people experiencing homelessness. The original Pottinger Agreement was reached in 1998 after 10 years of litigation and negotiation between the City of Miami, the city, and a class of homeless Miamians, represented by a team of attorneys from the ACLU, including Professor Schnabli of the University of Miami. The agreement grew out of a 1992 federal court ruling that the Miami Police Department had engaged in practices that violated the Fourth and Eighth Amendments rights of homeless Miamians, as well as the Equal Protection and Due Process Clauses of the 14th Amendment. The Pottinger Agreement aimed to prevent criminalization of people experiencing homelessness in Miami and to protect against continued constitutional violations. In its original form, it required police to offer a homeless person shelter before arresting her for engaging in life-sustaining activities in public. If no shelter was available, police could not arrest a homeless person for a number of misdemeanors which involved life-sustaining conduct. It further prohibited police from destroying the belongings of homeless people. In 2013, after the City of Miami first moved to modify the agreement, the parties agreed to some modifications on the types of activities homeless people could conduct free from risk of arrest or police harassment. Overall, though, the core protections of the Pottinger Agreement remained intact. Then, last year, I guess this was written in 2020, I believe, The city of Miami moved to dissolve the agreement. The ACLU moved to enforce the consent decree and to hold the city of Miami in contempt for violating it. After considering how resources for homeless Miamians have increased over the past 20 years, and after finding that the city of Miami's past violations of the agreement were exceptions to otherwise compliant behavior, Judge Moreno held that the Pottinger Agreement had served its purpose of preventing police abuses of people experiencing homelessness in Miami and was no longer necessary. Judge Moreno further denied the ACLU's motion to hold the city in contempt. At the heart of the original Pottinger Agreement and the litigation over whether it ought to be dissolved is an argument about how cities ought to address homelessness. The politics at issue in the original Pottinger litigation are often referred to as the criminalization of homelessness. Laws and police practices that criminalize homelessness not only pose serious constitutional issues, they are also wasteful and they fail to address the underlying issues of homelessness. Criminalization creates a revolving door that circulates people experiencing homelessness through the criminal justice system and then back into homelessness. Research shows that policies which provide homeless people an apartment and access to a social worker cost less than the annual cost of emergency room visits and jail stays for an average person experiencing homelessness. One study of chronic homelessness in three central Florida counties found that the region, which currently employs policies that criminalize homelessness, could save $21,000 annually per person experiencing homelessness by employing a housing first strategy. Further criminalization strategies disrupt the ability of homeless people to gain employment, find stable housing, and access public benefits. They also subject people experiencing homelessness to the criminal justice system without the resources they need to navigate it effectively. While the Pottinger Agreement achieved substantial change in the way the city of Miami addresses homelessness, it did not eradicate all practices that criminalize homelessness. Even before Judge Moreno dissolved the Pottinger Agreement this February, 6 years ago, or seven, I'm not sure which, encounters between homeless people and Miami's police and city officials sometimes resulted in the destruction of personal property, arrests for engaging in life-sustaining activities, and at least one tragic instance, death. In March of 2018, police arrested Tabitha Bass for sleeping on a sidewalk in a way that obstructed passage. Ms. Bass, who suffered from serious health issues, died in jail 3 days later. Then in April, just before the city of Miami filed a motion to dissolve the consent decree, video evidence surfaced showing Miami PD officers destroying the property of homeless Miamians during systematic so-called cleanups of areas where homeless Miamians often live in downtown and overtown areas. In its briefs, the ACLU argued that these so-called cleanups were really an attempt to clear homeless Miamians out of gentrifying areas of our city. Now that the Pottinger Agreement has been dissolved, homeless Miamians are left without the additional protections and enforcement mechanisms the agreement provided to secure their constitutional rights. The city prevailed by arguing in part that Miami PD can be trusted not to indiscriminately harass or arrest homeless Miamians. After Judge Moreno issued his decision, city manager Emilio Gonzalez further promised that the city would, quote, continue working to assist the homeless in a humane manner. Yet, in the practices of the Miami PD and the city officials prior to the dissolution, if these practices are any indication, the city cannot be entirely trusted to respect the rights of homeless Miamians. The Pottinger Agreement provided a mechanism for homeless Miamians to enforce these promises against the city of Miami. In the absence of Pottinger, new legal protection is necessary. One solution is to enact a homeless bill of rights at the state level. Legislation like this has been enacted in Rhode Island, Connecticut, Illinois, and Puerto Rico in varying forms. Activists in Florida have proposed similar legislation in the past. A Florida homeless bill of rights should draw from legislation in other jurisdictions and incorporate some of the protections that were part of the Pottinger Agreement and which are directly responsive to police tactics that have historically been employed in the Miami area. The National Law Center for Homeless and Poverty notes that the Homeless Bill of Rights, which has already been enacted, include a right to move freely and to rest in public spaces, to access public facilities, an expectation of privacy and personal property, protection from mistreatment by law enforcement, protections from disclosure of records, freedom from employment discrimination, a right to receive documentation required to register to vote, and a right to emergency medical care. The existing homeless bills of rights also include enforcement mechanisms, some administrative and some judicial, to provide people experiencing homelessness with legal relief if their rights are violated. In order to continue the trend begun by the Pottinger Agreement and to spread the gains of Pottinger throughout Florida, a Florida homeless bill of rights should also include rights which were protected by the Pottinger Agreement. Any homeless bill of rights should include the right not to be arrested engaging in life-sustaining activities. It should also include the right not to have property seized or destroyed by police or city officials, and in the event of arrest, the right to have property stored securely by police and returned at a later time. A state-level homeless bill of rights will help prevent a return to criminalization of homelessness in the wake of Pottinger in two key ways. First, the Pottinger Agreement was a federal injunction constraining the powers of a municipal government. As Judge Moreno's order noted, federal judicial oversight of local governments raises federalism concerns, and consent decrees like Pottinger are transient. On this point, Judge Moreno quoted the Supreme Court in Board of Education of Oklahoma City Schools versus Dowell, writing that consent decrees are not intended to operate in perpetuity. A state law, on the other hand, could approach permanence. Though a state law would be subject to the changing policy preferences of Florida voters and thus vulnerable to future modification, it would not be constrained by the same concerns about judicial supervision of local government agencies that caution against keeping consent decrees in place permanently. Second, a Florida homeless bill of rights would extend the progress Pottinger made in Miami to the rest of Florida. Under the Pottinger Agreement, the city of Miami increased resources to aid people experiencing homelessness and was bound to respect the rights of homeless Miamians. However, cities like Orlando and Tampa continue to ban people from engaging in essential activities like food sharing and sleeping in public places. Florida has a total homeless population of around 32,190. Only approximately 1,000 of those people live in the city of Miami. A statewide homeless bill of rights would bring the rest of Florida up to speed while preventing a backslide in Miami in the absence of the Pottinger Agreement. And if I get energetic, I'll find out what I can about the current status of a homeless bill of rights. So far, I haven't heard that any state has a meaningful homeless bill of rights, but I'd like to be wrong about that. This was an article called "The Criminalization of Homelessness in a Post-Pottinger World," and it's from the University of Miami Law School, but it's not clear who wrote it and who posted it. But anyway, here's the flashback after the brief musical introduction, and I'll let it speak for itself.